have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. I want to talk to you tonight out of the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verse 1. And the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there will I will cause thee to hear my words. And then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. And then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as the potter, saith the Lord? For behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning the nation and concerning the kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways, your doings good. And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our devices, and we every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Therefore thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things? For the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch this house, Lord, with the power, the grace, the glory of your Holy Ghost. Father, minister to us tonight. Make us, God, to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look them right in the eye and say, hey, I'm beautiful. And I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord. Want to say it's also a privilege of us to have from Addison, Alabama, Sister Barbara's mom and dad. We appreciate y'all coming being with us. And I understand he has a birthday. Hey, tomorrow he'll be every bit of 40. I just made a friend. Glory. Amen. Whoa, we got somebody going to give away the secret. Amen. If you will, I want to talk to you for a few moments tonight on a subject I'd simply entitled Broken, Bruised, But Repairable. Amen. God's revealed in the Bible in many different figures. Supremely, of course, God is the loving Heavenly Father. We see him as the Almighty God. You sing that song, he's an on-time God. But let me tell you something. If my God is everywhere at all times and omnipresent, then he can't ever be late because he's there before you ever thought about it. Glory. Come on, church. Amen. So when I say he's an on-time God, I can't miss that. Amen. But you know, church, not only is he omnipresent, but everywhere at all times, he's omnipotent. He has all power, which is in heaven and in earth. But not only that, he knows everything. Come on, church. Amen. He knows what you think. He knows what you think you thought. He knows what you think you're going to think tomorrow. Amen. And you know what? The Bible said that he actually pays attention to the thought and the intent of our heart. Amen. And so we need to understand that. But not only that, he's also the creator of the worlds. The Bible said in him all things were made. Without him nothing was made. But he spoke the words and the worlds came into existence. My Lord, that's the God I serve. Now, I know these other people claim their God's something, but I ain't never seen their gods make something out of nothing, and my God did. Amen. He took nothing, made everything out of it, called it what he wanted to, and got it there. My God is so great. Amen. I hear one of the prophets saying, is there anything too hard for God? And another said, I believe with his his outstretched hand and his right arm, there is nothing my God cannot do. And I want to tell you, my friend, I got a God who is everything we need him to be. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the one in whom the oceans wash. In the hollow of his hands, he hung the stars in the sky and gave every one of them a name. And I believe with all my life that God scooped out the valleys, heaped up the mountains, and he sets on the circle of the earth, and the earth has been his footstool. And that God that I serve is a great God. And in the Bible, he's described many ways. Could you say amen? He's called the Lord of hosts, the army of heaven, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Glory. But here, he's pictured as a potter, a simple man who works with clay. Jeremiah said, we got to go down to the potter's house. And there, he saw the way God deals with his own children. Amen. In the fourth verse, he said, you and I are the clay, but God is the potter. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? God puts us on that wheel, and sometimes when our life is spinning out of control, it's because God's got us under control. He's just spinning us because he's working on us. Amen. There may be something wrong with the pot, but he's working on it to get out some flaws and to smooth some places down. Sometimes you need to say, you know, the thing today is, I ain't going to accept that. Sometimes you need to just go through it. Come on, church. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego learned a whole lot more from the fire than they'd learned if they'd bypassed it. Amen. Daniel learned a lot about the lion's den. He'd have never known if he never got in the lion's den. And let's face it, you could never take something away from some of the other people in the Bible who went through troubles and trials. I know Job would have just as soon not had it happen, but if you found Job after that last chapter, he'd have looked up and said, I know it was wrong, and I know it was bad, but I also know my Redeemer liveth, and I know that I'm going to stand before him in the latter day, and no matter what happened, I'm still going to see him. Could you say amen? Woo. As I said this morning, I have never learned a lot about God shouting. Don't have a problem with it, but I need something every once in a while to make me dig in. Amen. Every once in a while, I need God to put me on that wheel and work on me. Come on, church, that's good stuff. Amen. As we yield to his skillful hands, he molds us just the way he wants us to be. Let me tell you something, church. It is not the task of the clay to think up what the pattern's going to be and what they're going to look like when it's over. Hello? Let's face it, church. If I had my way, I wouldn't be your pastor. Not that I don't enjoy being your pastor, but I'd never been a preacher if I'd had my way. I ran from it all my life. And if I could have got out of it, I would have never became a preacher. But it came down one day where I had to make a choice. I was either going to follow God or I was going to keep running against the wall. And finally I figured out it'd be a whole lot easier to run with him than to run from him. And I started giving in to what he wanted me to do. And God began to mold my life and God began to make me. Come on, church. Amen. Some of y'all may not understand, but the reason at 19 years old I was a drug addict alcoholic was because I wasn't letting God work on me. I was doing everything I could to keep God from making me who he wanted me to be. But when I gave up and let God get a hold of my life, he turned it around and began to mold me and to make me into somebody I could be proud of. Could you say amen? The great thing about it is nobody knows what that lump of clay is going to look like till the master potter gets through. Glory. I don't know if y'all have ever been to a pottery or not, but it's amazing to watch how they can take a lump of clay and piddle around with it a little while. It don't look like it's much, and then all of a sudden you start seeing something. Amen. And you see him dip over and get a little water on his hands and put it up there and work a little longer, get a few more smooth spots in. Amen. Because he's making that clay like he wants to. God's got the perfect plan for each of us. Amen. Everybody's not singers. Everybody's not preachers. Everybody ain't going to be able to play music. I'll never forget the day I was in here and had that piano set on demo and it was playing and there was folks thought I was tearing it up. Glory. That preacher can play to get that piano. Glory. I can't play that piano. I just knew where demo was. Glory. I have a hard time keeping the radio on tune. Not everybody can do everything, but we can all do something. See, we're supposed to be part of a body, fitly joined together. That way there's going to be some backbone, there's going to be some hip bone, there's going to be some leg bone, but we all got to get put together, and the only way that can happen is we're formed by the potter who knows where we belong and what we need to look like and what shape we need to be in. Glory. When God sets his table, he don't want a bunch of saucers and cups. He needs some plates and bowls so he can get a whole meal. Oh, our church, that's good stuff. Amen. Glory. Listen, all the clay has to do is simply yield by faith into the hands of the potter, and the potter will do the rest. Hello? Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? I remember when I first got saved, God called me to preach. I worked at preaching. I remember I went to the first prayer conference in the Church of God, first camp meeting, rather. After I preached my first sermon, I showed up at camp meeting, had me a big Bible so they'd know I was a preacher. Glory. I mean, I was a veteran. I'd preached three times. Glory. I was walking around, had one of them little stickers on, said I was an evangelist. And let's face it, I was not that successful so far. I had to make my voice hoarse. Now I wish it wasn't hoarse. Glory. Somebody woke up, well, brother, how's it going? I said, oh, it's going pretty good. Glory. Fellow walked up and he said, think you might be able to come preach for me sometime before the end of the month? I said, I believe I can work that in. I wasn't about to tell him I could come the end of that month, all the next month, most of the one afterward. And let's face it, church, my early evangelistic endeavors was not the greatest in the world. My first revival, I had one healed and one killed in the first two nights. Literally. I prayed for a lady in Floral, Alabama. She fell dead while I was praying for her. I like to never live that down. Don't worry, we're having a prayer line in a minute. I'm working on one for somebody. Glory. And seriously, I prayed for this lady. The only thing kept me from giving up on preaching was the last thing out of her mouth was, I've never felt the power of God like I feel it right now. But I watched the coroner tow her out of that building after she had an aneurysm on her brain and died while we were in that altar. And I really felt bad when I had to help with the funeral because I honestly thought I killed her. Oh. I'll never forget, I booked a revival the next 2 weeks at a church off a guy that helped me do that funeral. And until I took this church, every year, at least once a year, if not twice a year, I preached a revival for that man. Somebody told me the other day, said, well, what would you do if he called you right now? Because he's at a little church. I said, I'd probably go preach for him. Why? Because he's earned the right. He called me in the middle of the night, tell me something, I'll answer the phone. I remember he called me one night about 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, the Lord told me to call you. I said, yes, sir. He said, I'll bother you. I said, you can't bother me. You've earned the right to call me anytime you want to. He said, the Lord said, just let him have it. That's all he said. He had no clue what I was going through or what I needed to know, but I needed to hear exactly what he said. Because you see, sometimes we as the clay get a little stubborn, we get a little stiff, and every once in a while there's got to be a little more application of the water. Amen. And that water represents the word, but it also represents the anointing of the Spirit. And every once in a while that potter's got to put a little more of that water to get us loose again and pliable so he can move us where he needs to take us. Could you say amen? Glory. Listen, the Bible tells me that when we're on the wheel and we get put back on the wheel, it's because we're broken. Amen. Verse 4 says they had become marred, which we would say is spoiled. Verse 12 said there is no hope. Have you ever been to that place where you looked around and realized, man, there's no way out of here? I got nothing to lean on. I've got no hope. I've got nothing. I can't make it. But I hear the words of Jeremiah in Lamentations when he said, the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Every day I get up, there's a fresh set of hopes I got. Amen. Every time I turn around, I realize that if my hope is in me, I got nothing to look forward to. But my hope is in the Lord. And the Lord is the one who can win the battle. The Lord is the one that can turn darkness into light. The Lord is the one that can put my feet back on the mountaintop. Amen. Habakkuk, the great prophet, in the third chapter, has a soliloquy that's bad. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the stall, and there'll be no herd in the stall. You know what he's saying? He said, though everything I love is fixing to be destroyed, though the very anointing I trust is going to fail me in this time. He spins around in that dark hour and says, but yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind feet, and he'll make me again to walk on the high places. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm on the wheel because I need some help. But on the help, God's going to move. And when God moves, God's going to bring me out. And let me tell you tonight, you may think there is no hope, but my God is hope. He is the power. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Blessed are they who wait upon the Lord. Why? They'll renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. That word wait actually is a Hebrew word, kwavah, which translated should mean hope. And what he said was, blessed are they whose hope is in God. My hope is not that the doctors can help or the doctors can do, but I've got a God who has all power in heaven and earth and who is mindful of what's going on in my life. Come on, church. That word kwavah means the twisting or binding together a thread to make a rope. And what Isaiah was saying was, blessed are they who in the darkest hour of their midnight just begin to bind themselves in God's word and God's love. Because when I do that, it's not by my strength, not by my power, but it is by his spirit that I am a conqueror. Because it is in him that I'm going to live and move and have my being. And by him, I am going to be more than a conqueror. Why? Because my God is able. Could you say amen? When you begin to hear words like that, look for those to be put back on the wheel. Clearly they had some clumps in their clay. What are clumps? Proverbs 6 and 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that are swift to run to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. Glory. All these clumps are added to the clay ourselves. Notice this. This ain't something the devil can do to you. It's easy to say, well, the devil made me do it. He ain't around to defend himself. But you the one that made the choice, and the choices we make is what do us in. You know, if you study the Titanic, you realize bad choices sunk that boat. The captain, the only guy that really knows how to navigate the North Sea, goes to bed. The first mate don't even think about the fact that even though there's just a little bit of moonlight, there is enough that they could have used the binoculars and seen for 2 to 3 miles further than what they could see with the naked eye. And the binoculars were locked up in a cabin. These guys are out there staring in the dark, and they can't see anything until they see that big white thing sitting in the water, and they go, iceberg! Do you know statistical science says that at the first mate it just simply said hard to starboard, they would have missed the iceberg by 100 yards. But the first thing out of his mouth was all back one third. He immediately shut the motors down, started spinning them backwards to stop the boat. How many of you understands how a boat's driven, especially a big ship, by the rudder? And if you change the way the water's crossing the rudder, you change your ability to control the boat. When he hollered hard to stern, the boat wouldn't turn to stern because the wheels were pushing, the propellers were pushing the water the wrong way. And so the boat did turn, but very slowly. And in the end result, it caught the corner of the iceberg and ripped all the way down the bottom of the boat. And a few hours later, that boat was on the bottom of the ocean. And 1,700 people died because of bad decisions. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Everything I just read to you out of Proverbs is there because of bad decisions. Hello? Amen. The reason we're there is because we are not listening. Proverbs chapter 5. And we have not obeyed the voice of our teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me, for I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. In other words, people were trying to tell me, but I wouldn't listen. I just wanted it my way. I didn't want to hear what the Word of God had to say because it didn't fit my way. But you see, every once in a while, I got to understand my way is not the right way. The reason the clumps are there is because they're not in church. People go to church, get close to God, have a tendency to live right. Hello? And now they got to go down where the pottery is. The Bible said, arise, go down. They had to go down to see God work on the wheel. Someone's broken, they need repair. They found themselves in the center of God's wheel, which caused them to be out of the center of their wheel, but in the center of His wheel. Hello? Now, church, all of us got our own wheel. Hell, I'm kind of heavy-minded. Are you in trouble? God don't work that way. You ever heard this? It's my way or the highway. God invented that. I didn't. Glory. Come on, church. There is no, I'll give you a little leeway. There's either God's will or there's not God's will. But if I'm in the center of God's wheel, then I'm going to be imperfect. But if I get a little off center, y'all ever been around on potter's wheel and watch what happens when you get that lump of clay just a little bit off center? It wobbles. Come on, how many of you's got a microwave? It turns. You ever notice what happens? You get that plate just a little off center. It moves side to side while it's rolling, and it doesn't work evenly. Amen. You ever notice we got folks in the church, and one of the problems they have is they keep trying to get out of the center of the wheel, and they keep bumping the sides and wobbling, and they can't figure out why they keep getting in trouble. But if you let the potter put you in the center of that wheel, there's a perfect place you can sit where the spinning is natural, and it's a perfect circle, and he can work on you to get you where you need to be. Glory. We need a solid base to rest on. The Bible said they were bruised by the fiery darts of the devil. Let's face it, church, the devil takes shots at us. Sometimes he hits. But we're also bruised by the fiery darts of the saints. And I'm going to add this in, the ain'ts. We got some of them in church. Come on, church. Some of y'all missed that. We have saints that can sometimes say things that will upset you, but we got some ain'ts that will do it on a regular basis. Glory. And they ain't the kind you kill with poison. Glory. Hello? We're also bruised by the work that they're doing for the Lord. You ever notice you can get so busy doing God's work that you forget all the other stuff you're supposed to be doing, and you can actually mess yourself up while you're doing good? Huh? I don't know how many times I've sat down with preachers going, I don't know what happened. I was so busy. But they got so busy being busy, they quit taking care of the things that were necessary, and they ended up losing where they were and getting in trouble. Some are bruised on their knees from the time they spent praying. But remember, they're in the Lord's hands now. Amen. Listen to the sixth verse. Said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as a potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. Glory. Amen. It's on the wheel that we can get bruises of life taken care of. It's on the wheel where we are out of the center of all, that we're out of his wheel, but we get back in it. If we find ourselves spinning aimlessly, it might be because we're out of his wheel, but if we let him put us on that mark, we find the place. We need to be in him. When we've tried to do it all and we can't find it out. When we sung all the songs, we shouted all the shouts, and we preached all the sermons. Understand this. I finished with this morning. Rest in the Lord. Glory. Hello. When we understand that when I've done all I know how to do, just stand still and see the salvation of God. We don't have all the answers. Come on, church. I'm one of them kind of fellas, I figure you give me long enough, I'll fix it. Huh? I'm serious. I'll get into anything. I've built a lot of stuff over my life, had parts left over, and it still worked. Glory. Y'all may not have ever done that. I built a little old four-wheeler for Alex one time, electric, when I put it together without the stuff, and everything worked good, except it went faster backwards than it did forwards because I had the transmission wired the wrong way. Glory. It didn't take me a little while to change the wires, and I had him running fast going forward. But I thought I'd done pretty good for somebody never done anything like that. I have a friend that's pretty much like me, Brother Mitch Netherly, the pastor of Methodist Church in Sullivan. He and I have done camp meetings together, and we spent a lot of time together. He'll call me every once in a while. I'll call him, and we like to pick at one another and talk about stuff we're doing. And I'll never forget, he called me one day, and he said, "You know, I'm preaching Sunday morning on I Can't Do It." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Well, I was trying to change the switch out in my truck." He said, "I finally come to the realization I can't do it." He said, "I've changed switches out before." He said, "Not beat on that thing." He said, "I actually broke part of the steering wheel trying to hit it with a sledgehammer, trying to get it out." I said, "What made you give up?" He said, "When my neighbor's teenage boy walked over and stuck something in the thing, twisted it one time, pulled it, and it popped right out." Glory. Hello? Do you see, sir, sometimes I've got to come to the conclusion I can't do anything with this. I can't handle this, but I've got a God who in every situation has the power and the grace and the glory to bring me out. Sometimes I've got to do just what the Bible said. When I've come to that place, I don't know what to do anymore. I need to just stand still and say, "God, it is not something I can do, but you can fix it." Could you say amen? You see, church, what we need to understand is that pottery is a reflection of the potter. Pottery, like every other kind of art, after a while that potter gets a form he uses, and everybody that sees it will immediately, if they're experts, recognize that as being the real thing. Amen. I remember one time in New York, there was a guy looking at some art in one of the museums, and he told one of the curators, he said, "I don't know who sold you that piece, but it ain't real." Pastor I was with looked at me, he said, "This is going to get interesting." We stood there a while, and that curator was standing. I said, "I have you to know, I got papers on that." He said, "I don't care what you got. I've seen that man's paintings, and that man's paintings are not painted the same way." He said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "The man that painted that painting is left-handed. Those strokes are made by a right-handed man." Now, how he could tell that, I don't know. But you know, it turned out that piece was fake. Somebody had made a copy of one of the originals, and that man caught it because he knew that man's painting so well that when he saw it, can I tell you that when God looks at us, he knows if we've been in the wheel, and when we walk through the world, they will know that the potter has been a hold of us and that the potter's the one working on us, because we will begin to reflect the potter in what we do. Could you say amen? He works on us and he molds us into shape. The battle almost dries the clay, but he sprinkles the water into the clay and keeps molding. Amen. Abraham had a promise. Before God blessed him, he said he had to look to a city whose builder, the foundation and maker was God. Joseph had a dream. But it was 27 years before Joseph saw that dream come to pass, and he ended up in a pit. And he ended up a slave. And he ended up at Potiphar's house. And he ended up in the prison. And he saw everything but what he saw in his dream. And then one day he made it to the palace. And now he's the second ruler of the largest kingdom of the world. And over every bit of the food the world had. The dream came true. But there were things he had to go through to get there. Daniel committed to prayer. But because he committed to prayer, he ended up in the lion's den. But God made the lions not eat him and brought him out because of his commitment. Amen. You say, preach, what are you talking about? The three Hebrew boys. They went to a fiery furnace. But on the way in, they noticed somebody was waiting on them. And when the king looked in, he said, there's one likened unto the Son of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. David had to deal with his Goliath before he ever reached the throne. Jesus had to go to Calvary before he ever made it to the resurrection. See, what you got to understand is we need to spend time on the wheel before we go to heaven. The vessel is without strength, therefore it must go through the fire. See, the last thing they do to pottery to make it really hold what it is they fire it. They got an oven, they put that stuff in, they run that oven to about 2,400 degrees. And it bakes that pottery into a hard thing. But it makes it so it can last. It won't lose its shape. It loses the pliability and stays in the shape the potter had it in when they put it in that oven. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? We need to understand where we are tonight, church. Some of you, you're just like those people. My life's messed up. I got no hope. But I got a God that said, if you just let me, I'll give you hope. Some of you are looking around saying, I just don't know how it's going to work. But if you let the potter put you on the wheel, he's already got a plan. They said, if you'll just sell out to me, I got it laid out for you. Hello? Oh, you can be anything you want to be. No, you really can't. Not be happy. Because you've got an intended life that God had for you. And unless you find that life, you'll never know the peace that passes all understanding. The joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. The love of God that will make you to love everybody. I remember in high school, they used to tell me, you can be anything you want to be. What they couldn't get was I didn't want to be nothing. The more they wanted me to be something, the less I wanted to be it. I wasn't rebellious. I just didn't feel like it was necessary at the time. I had the rest of my life. What I didn't catch was what I did then was what's going to help me make it through the rest of my life. But what they didn't catch was I couldn't do what they thought I could do. After destroying my life and my mind, putting myself in a place where I had no hope, wanting to leave this world, I stumbled into a church one night and gave my heart to God. Well, I've been in church before, just never really got committed because every time I'd go to church, God would start dealing me to preach and I'd get out of church because I wasn't going to be no preacher. Finally, I got in the church of God. God delivered me from drugs and alcohol, straightened my life up, got me back where I could carry on a halfway decent conversation. I accepted the call to preach. And I'll never forget the first sermon I ever preached. All 4 minutes of it. 16 pages type notes. I read some of it twice for emphasis. Finally, I broke down, gave an altar call. Walked by Brother Duckworth, said, I ain't never going to do this again. Went out the side door. I didn't even go back through the congregation because I didn't want to see any of them. I was embarrassed because I felt like I blew it. And I made up my mind, I'm never going to do this again. To the next morning, when my dad, a backslid preacher, walks into that barn and says, I stood outside and I listened to you, son. He said, I got to admit, all the times I had to worry about you and get you out of the car and get you out of trouble and go try to find you or didn't even know where you were, I never thought you'd make it to last night.
But he said, the day you were born, God told me you would take my place. And he said, don't let what happened last night discourage you. Sell out to it and let God use you. I guess one of the most special converts I ever had was when I watched my dad kneel on his wheelchair in front of the hospital in Dred City and give his heart to God. And I saw my dad come back to the Lord. And I saw him give his heart to God. And I realized then, I am where God wants me to be. And I am doing what God wants me to do. And if I sell out to it, God will give me more souls and more lives. I believe there are people under the sound of my voice tonight that God's working on you and you don't understand. But I believe God brought you here tonight for me to tell you, if you just let go, let God, he's got answers. Stand with me all over the house. Would you just bow your head and just begin to call on his name right now? Father, I believe you for your love, your mercy. God, I believe you for your power and your grace. God, so many times we are bruised, we are broken by the things of this world. But God, I believe you tonight. Touch your people and move on us, Lord, with your glory and with your power. Father God, let your grace come down and touch this house tonight. In Jesus' name, every heart, every life, every soul. See, I believe there are people under the sound of my voice tonight that if you'll just let God, God's got something in front of you that you never would have believed possible. If in 1974 you'd have told me that I traveled around this world and preached the gospel, that I was going to preach in several different hemispheres and several different countries, I told you it was crazy. But when I let God take hold, opportunities begin to come that should have never came my way. And it's because I let the potter put me on a wheel. And let's face it, I'm just like everybody else. There were times I tried to get off the wheel and I'd get off center and he'd have to work with me and he'd have to put some more water on me and have to move me back to the middle and work on me. But he kept working until he finally got me where he needed me. And oh, I'm not there yet. Every once in a while, I feel my life going out of control because I know he's found another spot he needs to work on. But I'm better now than I ever was before. And tomorrow looks like a better day. And I've come to realize that no matter what they say, as long as God's on the throne, as long as he's the potter, there's hope.